95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. This show airs every Sunday morning at 7:30 and focuses on influential women, women who shape the society we live in, women who have a story and are brave enough to voice that story. Today's guest posted a blog about a week ago. I woke up to a text message with a link to her blog that a friend had sent me. I was late to work that day because at 4:15, which is the time I wake up, I laid in bed and I read her story. The writer of that blog is here today to tell us her story. Amy Archit published her blog titled, I Chose to Be Raped, My Me Too Story. She says she contemplated posting her writings for a while. Amy just made public her story that at the age of 15, she allegedly had a sexual relationship with a 30-year-old man. Although a situation of this kind would be categorized as statutory rape, and Amy says she now knows she was a victim. She says she was a willing participant and still holds part of the blame for her involvement. She opens the blog by saying, this week, the Me Too movement hit Facebook. I felt a sense of understanding and power for all women. I also felt conflicted. Conflicted because I wanted to say Me Too, but I felt I didn't deserve it. That my story couldn't compare to women who experienced true sexual assault. How could I claim Me Too when I chose to be raped? Please welcome Amy Archit to Her Story. Hi, Amy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
First, I'd like to say that I think that your blog is a well-written, empowering blog, and it certainly takes a strong person to get through a situation like that and to be comfortable enough to put your story out there.
Yeah, thank you. It was definitely challenging. I contemplated it for over 6 months to tell my story. And the day that the Me Too thing was going viral on Facebook, I actually waited about a day, wrote Me Too, and then deleted it 6 hours later because I was feeling guilty.
That you weren't part of that.
Yeah, that how could I say Me Too when I was willing participant in my story.
This happened when you were 15. How old are you now?
I am 29 now.
What were you like as a kid? You were 15 years old. Were you involved in school activities? What were you like as a 15-year-old?
I wasn't super involved with school activities, but I was very involved in after-school activities, dancing. And then I was part of this particular dance community, and that community was a bit older than myself. I very much wanted to be older. So I was very much 13 going on 30 kind of thing. So I acted a lot older, and I tried to represent myself that way, but back home with my friends, we were still, you know, giggling little 15-year-olds.
Sure. So you started out dancing. What type of dance were you doing?
It was salsa dancing.
That's the dance community you said where you were acting above your age. What was it when you started dance? Where did you start? Did you start typical tap, jazz, ballet?
Yeah, I started with gymnastics, and then I did traditional ballet, hip-hop, contemporary, just a little bit of everything I dabbled in.
And you were more with your peers, kids your age?
Yes.
And then you moved on to the salsa dancing where it was sort of an older community.
It was, yeah, a much older community, very 20s, 30s.
Now, you know that some people who would hear a story about a child, a 15-year-old, having a relationship with a man, they're going to say, clearly she has some sort of daddy issue. What was your home life like?
My parents are still married. They've been together for 30 years now. They're happily married. They are actually my best friends, and they started salsa dancing at the same time as me. So my parents were in the community watching me most of the time.
So it's not like there was no dad there or you had a broken family. You came from a family where your parents were there.
I came from a family where I often feel guilty for how perfect my childhood was. We had money. We had, my parents obviously loved me. They took care of me. I wasn't overly disciplined or under-disciplined. I mean, I can really say my parents were pretty awesome, and they raised me to love myself.
So tell me about the day then that you met the 29-year-old. He was 29 at the time, correct?
Yes. I was 14 when we first met, and he was 29, and I was in his dance class. The second we kind of rotate in the classes, and I came up to him, and he touched my hand very, almost affectionately, even though we didn't know each other. And there was an instant kind of look of attraction. I thought he was probably young 20s, and at the time he thought I was at least 18, young 20s. So we didn't know the age difference immediately.
And in your blog, you talk about how he, quote, groomed you.
There was definitely a lot of flirting in the beginning, and then we had a moment where we realized how old each other was. And I would say for maybe a week or two, things backed down and the flirting kind of calmed down. I was still around, and he knew that I was a good dancer, so he started kind of prepping me. He was about to lose his dance partner, and so he started kind of actively training me a little bit more than others because he thought I would be a good replacement. He would do things like whenever I danced with him, he would rub his thumb or finger on the middle of my hand, something that nobody else would see, but I would feel. He would make comments, things that I remember to this day. I remember him actually saying it twice in 1 week. Oh, I'm going to marry this girl one day. Our pecks on the cheek turned to pecks on the lips and just like lingering touches, those kind of things.
When he was telling people that he was going to marry you someday, sort of jokingly saying that to these other people?
Yes, in that, you know, kind of, I'm just going to marry this girl one day, like kind of trying to talk me up about how, you know, I guess a way to show affection and appreciation for me. But in my mind, that was just putting, you know, fuel on the fire. It also then started to extend to conversations we started having over the internet. So email and instant messenger, which started to take even a more personal tone.
Did you become his dance partner?
Yes, I did.
And so how long were you partners?
I would guess I would say for total maybe 2 years.
Okay, so it lasted a while.
Yes.
Give me an idea of what was happening through the messaging.
This, I think, was when I was still 14. We were messaging around New Year's Eve and we were kind of flirting about the idea of having a New Year's kiss. I don't remember how it got started, but I also remember that I was had a bunch of girlfriends hanging out with me at the time and we were joking about it, laughing like kind of little kids do. So it's something I look back at and know that my response to it was not that of a, that it was more of a response of a teenager and not the way a adult would be responding
okay.
to those.
So then when this was happening, you said you were laughing with your friends. So they knew that he was sending these messages to you?
A few of them did in the very beginning because it was still so innocent that I didn't start hiding it until things took the next step and when we first kissed.
Was then when you decided you needed to keep this a secret?
Yes.
You also state that you don't pretend to be innocent in all of this. Some people would agree with you, but others might say that you were a child and he was a full-blown adult man who knew better. You say that you looked older than you were at the age of 15. You dressed differently. You danced differently. You acted older.
Yeah, I very much dressed a little bit more scandalous. And that wasn't just because of the salsa community. It was kind of a personality trait of mine. But especially when I went out salsa dancing, I tried to look and dress more mature. I wore a little bit more makeup. A lot of it was in the way I held myself, though. I really tried to tone back any kind of childish talk or behavior. And I also didn't let myself be represented with anybody of my age that was in the salsa scene. There wasn't many of them, but there were a few other, and a kids group and a teenagers group. I made sure that I was part of the adults group. So I took the adult classes. I only hung out with adults. And I actually became very close friends with a lot of people who were 25, 30, 35.
You grew up quick.
Yes, very quick.
So did your parents, did your friends see this happening?
Yes, but I had two different lives. I had my school life and then I had my salsa life. Eventually, I really distanced myself from people my age. In high school, I was going through all of this, so I was very kind of depressed and I did not hang out with my high school friends. I had my one best friend who I occasionally hung out with, but they did their own thing and had high school hangouts and parties, and I was out salsa dancing.
Tell me then when it progressed, when it got to the point where you were then having a sexual relationship.
Actually started because we were going to a salsa congress in Puerto Rico, and for some reason, it's not really common in the salsa community, but for some reason, you had to be 18 to get into that event. So I was borrowing my sister's ID. This is not in the blog. This is kind of a little extra something. I was borrowing my sister's ID that would have said that I was 19. He joked that that was old enough for him to date. And that is what led to the first kiss, which happened about a week before we left for Puerto Rico. From there, kissing went into all other sexual things. It was about 6 months before it went all the way.
You were a virgin at the time?
Yes, I was a virgin.
And did he know that?
Yes, he definitely did.
So you talk about traveling then. Was that the first time when you traveled with the team or with this partner?
No, we were just, parents were coming on that trip as well. And we would sneak away and make out and that kind of stuff, some other stuff. But it didn't turn into, I mean, it was very sexual, things that would have been considered illegal by the law. But it was about 6 months later that we went all the way.
You were traveling with this man, but your parents were there also.
During that particular trip, they did trust him a lot. So there were times that we were allowed to travel together.
And were you staying in the same room together?
Sometimes, but sometimes it was with other people. I even got away with, this sounds terrible for my parents, but I slept at his house a few times when we had events that we were going to really early in the morning or would be out. We'd be performing late at night.
Sure. So in the salsa community, things happen very late at night. You're 15 years old. That's pretty late for a 15-year-old who's got to get up and go to school the next morning. Were you still using your sister's ID to get into different clubs and bars?
No, actually, my salsa friends were getting me in. So
because you were part of the community and you were performing, you were allowed in?
Yeah. There was other instructors that I were friends with that they, you know, just vouched for me.
So you said then at some point your parents stopped traveling with you and you were then traveling with these other adults. Did other adults know what was happening?
No. Nobody knew. Not even my best friends.
Okay. And you said your parents trusted him.
They trusted him a lot. He had two kids, and my dad had very much the mindset that you're a man who has two daughters. I trust you with mine. And that is a flaw. My dad is so nice. Nice to a flaw that he didn't think that this man could take advantage of me.
In your blog, you say, I desperately wanted a real relationship with this man, but even more, I wanted to hear three simple words. I don't know whether he loved me or not. So being almost 30 now, do you see what this relationship was?
I very much see what this relationship was. Being almost 30 now, it took me a really long time to get here, but I understand that him not loving me, whether he did or not, he didn't love me in an appropriate way, has nothing to do with me, but all to do with him and his issues or inabilities.
So when did your parents find out, or when did they figure it out?
I told my mom at some point before my dad. She wasn't aware of what he was doing besides having the relationship with me, so she wasn't immediately appalled. I mean, she was concerned, but if he was treating me well, I think she would have saw past that.
But what do you mean? What else was happening?
Well, he was not faithful to me. He was sleeping with many other women. He had a second child within our relationship.
So then what? So you told your mom. Obviously, you brought your dad in at some point.
Eventually, it all blew up. I had finally found out about him sleeping with other women. A lot of it I had suspected and just ignored. Eventually, I found out about a specific woman he was sleeping with who was someone I was very close with and who was in very close quarters of our group.
Who was an adult?
Yes. And that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. I finally couldn't take it anymore. And everything blew up. And that's when I told my parents, who were obviously extremely upset. They did tell the studio owner, who gave them the choice to whether they could fire him or not. My parents were very conflicted. I was emotionally falling apart. I think they were very afraid to do something that would push me over the edge. And they were also really heartbroken because they were friends with this guy and they trusted him. So they were really conflicted in a similar way that I was, that I still had some loving feelings towards him. I didn't want to destroy his life. And again, as I said, my dad looked at this man as a guy with children and didn't want to destroy his life either.
So you didn't press charges?
No.
Was he fired from his job?
No.
Oh.
At least not at that time.
But. Not at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Weren't you worried, or were your parents worried? And maybe at the time, you're not thinking about it. You're 15 years old. But do you think back now that he could have done this to other children?
I've held guilt for not pressing charges. At the time, I really still loved him, but I also really held on a lot of guilt. I thought I was responsible. I did not see it as statutory rape. I thought, I wanted this. I very much wanted this. How can I blame him when I went after it? And I didn't necessarily make it easy for him to say no to the whole situation. As much as he pushed the limit on
what was appropriate.
What was appropriate. Yeah, I was doing the same. And at the time, I didn't realize why I wasn't as guilty. It took probably 2 or 3 years afterwards when I started to use the word statutory rape. I guess it was a lot that my brain matured and I started thinking differently as I got older.
Of course.
And I could remember how I thought at 15. And I could suddenly see the difference. And I could suddenly understand why this is against the law. So when things blew up, though, I didn't see pressing charges as something that I wanted to do because I didn't see him all as at fault.
Did your parents give you the choice on whether or not they were going to press the charges?
They did.
And yeah. You said no.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit then about the downfall. So you said you kind of just had a breaking point and there was sadness and eating disorder. You stopped performing. You saw a psychologist. There was a lot that happened.
Yeah. Before it even ended, I started overeating. I originally started with excessive dieting that kind of backfired into overeating. Eventually I had a full-blown binge eating disorder. And I went to my mom because I knew something was wrong. It sounds terrible, and I didn't want to be fat, so I wanted to handle it as soon as possible.
This is after she knew about the relationship?
No, she didn't.
This was before?
Yeah, this was me really trying to reach out, but without telling them. So in a way, I was subconsciously creating another issue that I could come to them about. And I could go to a psychologist about. I could see a doctor about. And I looked for someone who dealt with eating disorders. I made it all about food. And then when I got to the doctor's office, the psychologist, I just immediately told her what was going on. And we never talked about food.
After that?
Yeah.
Still at this point, your parents didn't know?
They didn't. My psychologist was the first adult I told. For the most part, she was just very much there for me and giving me ways to deal with it and trying to help me see why it was wrong.
And was she successful in doing that?
I think so. She was more successful in not making me feel like I felt she would judge me for it. I felt like if I told anybody, they would judge me for it more than they would judge. I don't even know if it was about judging him or not, but I thought people would judge me for it, almost like I was a slut. And she didn't. She made me feel normal and that the responses I were having were normal. So I don't fully remember all the things we talked about, but I know that I felt like she was a real source of support and someone I could actually tell these immense secrets I was holding on to, because it was a lot of the holding on to the secretness of the relationship that was bursting inside of me.
You stopped performing.
Yeah, I had gained about 30 pounds from the eating disorder, and I'm only 4'10", so you put 30 pounds on a tiny girl and it's noticeable. I wasn't fitting in my costumes. It didn't look as great as a performer. It kind of gave me an excuse to step back. I wasn't giving up completely, but it was an excuse to kind of step down and for everybody to see, even though they didn't know why I had the eating disorder, they knew obviously something was going on.
And were you still performing with this man at the time?
At the time, yeah.
So what did he say about you stepping down, or did he know what was happening now? This was the downfall.
I didn't fully step down officially until things all fell apart.
Until it came out.
Yeah, it was kind of all these things were like happening at the same time, and they all kind of then came to a head around the same time.
Was he scared? Was he nervous once it all came out?
I don't think so.
Did he know he was doing something wrong?
I still don't think he does. I've had many talks with him.
So you still talk to him?
We are on friendly terms. I haven't seen him. I don't think I've spoken to him in a few years. But I went very back and forth between I hate you and I want to be friends with you and I hate you and I want to be friends with you. And in those times, I've gotten a lot out to him and had some heart-to-hearts with him. And he still will put a lot of blame on me.
Tell me about the aftermath then and the years following all of this, because you eventually left the area.
Yeah, so what happened is things blew up. We didn't speak for 9 months. And in that time, I started planning to go to college in Florida. And my whole reasoning was really to get away from him. We even ended up getting back together for the last few months before I left.
How old were you then at that point?
I was 18 at that point. And I kind of used the excuse, well, I'm leaving anyway. At the point, I was still not strong enough to fully walk away. And that's why I decided to force myself to walk away. I forced myself to go 1,000 miles away from him to get perspective. And it helped a lot.
But you say in your blog, you talk about going to college and how you actually used your sexuality to attract men.
I did. I was a very, you know, from dance and everything, like I knew how to be sexy. I still do. I use it a lot in my career, but I let myself get taken advantage by a lot of men. So I have a lot of memories of feeling like sex was the only way that I could get love. Because with the relationship with this guy, that is how he made me feel. We had a friendship and a dance partnership, but that felt very separate from the sexual relationship. And there was no combination between the two. So I felt like the only way for me to get like the kind of love I was looking for, that romantic love, was for sex. Because that's what he wanted me for.
You just mentioned still using your sex appeal in your profession today. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes, I am a pole dance instructor. I own a studio. I think what I love about it is that I can express my sexuality in a much more positive way, a way that is empowering to women, in a way that is just for myself and not for other men.
So explain that.
Women come into our studio, and they're mostly everyday women. They come in and they learn how to do pull-ups, to pull themselves up on a pole and do crazy strong stuff. Strong things that require upper body strength, which is something that most women don't like to work out in their regular life. And we do these things that just make you feel physically strong. And then there's the aspect where we're very open about dancing sexy and sexual. And I think the difference is that when we do it at the studio, we're not doing it in a stage like a strip club. We're not doing it in front of men. We're doing it for each other. It's not about showing off for other people. It's about a community of women who support each other.
Do you teach dance classes at your studio?
Yes, I teach pole dance and pole fitness. So if you're not into the dancey side of things, you can just do it as a, you know, sporty fitness aspect as well.
Are you truly healed?
I don't think I'm ever truly healed. I think there's always going to be a scar, but I've done a lot of soul searching and I'm at a point where I can tell my story with a certain amount of indifference where I can see it in the past. I can tell my story and I can remember it, but I don't feel it the way I used to.
Are you currently in a relationship?
I am. A very good one.
Do you dance anymore?
I occasionally go out salsa dancing, maybe a few times a year, but mostly I just dance in my studio and pole dance, and I do competitions, and I'm part of that community.
When you go out to salsa dance, or if you were to take a class or teach a class, does that bring back bad memories for you?
Sometimes. It is why I stay away. I have trouble disassociating salsa dance with what I went through.
That's a shame, but it's completely understandable.
It gets easier as time goes on, and it's one reason I just kind of go out, take a break, go out dancing, take a break. I try not to get involved within the community because I feel like even though there's probably not a lot of statutory rape going on in the community, there's still a lot of taking advantage of women. And I don't like to see that.
In that community?
Yes.
Does the community know about your story? Did they know prior to your blog?
A few people did. Probably less people than I even realized. I thought that it would have, when it blew up, that it would have trickled through the community more, but I don't think it did.
So you say you do know where he is and you haven't spoken to him in a few years, but you do know that he's in the area.
Yeah, we're on friendly terms. I like it better that way. When I was in a position of not talking to him and holding on to hate or anger, that was harder for me. It was keeping me in it. When I decided to forgive him, I don't consider us friends, but I consider us friendly. That helped me heal.
Do you know if he read your blog?
I don't know if he read my blog. I'm very curious.
If he was listening today, what would you say to him?
I just want him to understand. I just want him to understand why his actions created so much pain. I don't need an apology. I mean, he's given some in some ways, but I just want him to understand so that he doesn't hurt other women.
Do you think that it was statutory rape?
Yes, very much so.
Do you feel that he robbed you of part of your childhood?
No, I don't. Part of healing was seeing how this situation has made me a stronger person. I know who I am, the strength that I have now, I wouldn't be able to have had without that situation. It does not justify what he did, and it does not make it right. But I don't know if I would change my story.
If or when you have a daughter, what will you do to make sure she doesn't end up in a situation like this?
I would talk to her a lot about situations like this and make her aware the depth that men can go. Because even when it happened, I was, you know, just mentally aware that men can be that way. But it was not something I ever experienced in my home life. So I was very naive. So I would share my story with her so she knew that this can happen, that we can be weak to it. As a child, as a woman, there's a lot of sense in society that makes us feel powerless. So I would do whatever I could to make her aware that she had the power. And I wouldn't let her salsa dance, at least until she was 18.
If you could give one bit of advice to the women listening today, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to know that they have the power. They have the power to say no. They have the power to walk away when they feel uncomfortable.
Amy, thank you so much for coming by today to tell us your story.
You're welcome.
If you'd like to read Amy's blog, you can go to her Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Amy, A-M-I-E dot A-R-C-H-U-T. Or you can check out Amy's classes at elitepoleandfitness.com. I did speak to Amy a little more after the interview, and she says that she's in a 3.5-year-long loving relationship with a great man. She also says that there's a big difference between stripping and pole dancing. She says what she does is for fitness and not for men, and she has never worked in a strip club. We hit on a pretty racy topic today. I guess I'll end by saying I'm a parent, and I'm certainly not perfect. I don't think any parent is, but just watch your child, especially when they're teenagers. If something doesn't feel right or you see some sort of change, don't ignore it. And I'm not implying that Amy's parents did. I'm just stating the obvious. I would never want my child or any child to go through this. So I hope that Amy's story encourages you as a parent to double check, be sure, and intervene in your child's life when needed. Thanks so much for joining me again today. I'm Kathy Romano. Have a great rest of your weekend.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.